was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand.
Folks, feel free to call in, but just if you do, make your question or your comment quick and to the point, because we do have a lot of information to cover tonight. We don't want to miss anything. We do have a caller on the line I want to get to, and then we'll move on with more information. That's Jeff in Idaho. Jeff, you're on.
Hey, guys. I just caught 10 minutes of the show. I've been Green Hall black walnut hunting tonight. Ken, I sent an email to Anna about Dr. Rivera, and what I was trying to find out is the UN law since 2009 that they've been doing this stuff with the bankrupted Puerto Rican utility. Could they be basically doing a switch and bait on us because of all the stuff that Anna's exposed in the past 5 or 6 months with the ICANN switchover, as that being a transmitting utility to send us from the District of Columbia to essentially that sort of jurisdiction? You remember how they're moving us around electronically all around the world?
Yep.
With the private status stuff you're talking about?
Yep.
Could there be something like that tied in with this October deadline in a week?
I don't know. It could be, but I mean, I don't know what a lot of people are predicting doom and gloom coming up. I don't think there's going to be any kind of doom or gloom, but yeah, they're shifting us all around. Anna's talking about the liquidation. A big liquidation is coming up. I don't think a liquidation is going to affect us really in any way on the private side, because we still got those claims open. But yeah, they're shifting us all around. It's regularly done. A mortgage loan, for instance, is resold every 180 days through 1031 exchanges all across the country. So this idea of shifting us all around is not uncommon. It's a very common practice.
Well, it's very interesting, because this is Obama's last chance, and he wasn't doing anything about it until you guys have hammered him in the past 6 months. And so then he says, oh, look, I promised 8 years ago that I'd do this. So I think he's doing this because of you guys. This is what I'm curious about.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it'd be nice if he did something. He hasn't done anything. It'd be nice if he said, with this Trans-Pacific Partnership, if he came out and said, hey, all you American citizens out there, get your DBAs and register your name and register your trademark, and hey, we're trading you. You know, that's what they're doing.
Well, the whole thing about it is that thing is going down. No one's going to vote for that thing, and the guy in the Philippines is basically starting to make ruffles with the UN issues. So that's really all I had for you, and I'll have to listen to your first hour when I get after you finish. I finish recording you. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
No, thanks for the call, brother. Chris in Las Vegas. Chris, you're on.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, and good evening, everyone, especially you, Mr. Ken Dost.
Good evening.
Ken, one thing that we've observed out here that you were kind of alluding to earlier is the only two selections on the current immigration passport form is either one a U.S. citizen. Of course, we know it's dangerous. The other alternative is the U.S. national, which is the former non-resident alien I think you were previously referring to.
There are other designations to go with, and
I agree.
And those designations are, and these are things that I've got to, I have to get published out there and get people aware of, having to do with e-passports. And we're so concerned about passports issue, but the thing that we're not taking recognition of is visa status, because the visa status is very, very important. Under the there was a congressional act in 2000, I believe it was called the citizenship. Child Citizenship Act of 2000 or something thereabouts. And what they've done here is they've said that, well, okay, if your mom and dad did not actually take the oath or actually get their registration or, I'm sorry, naturalization certificate or citizenship certificate, then we basically lose our citizenship rights and we're endangering the rights of our children from taking part in naturalization or citizenship. So there's all these different classifications now on immigration and status to non-resident alien to citizen to status of our children. And it is all attached to visa statuses. And it's interesting because they're attached to visa statuses to where benefits are being accrued to people of higher visa statuses. And guess who gets the highest visa statuses? Attorneys, of course. And so... We're paying all this attention to this passport issue. We've got to put attention to the visa issue. It's a very, very important issue.
That's very interesting, Ken. Perhaps you can elaborate on that. I presume that a visa is akin to a passport, but more likely in the nature of a travel writ of free passage or something of that nature. So sometimes mm-hmm. you can expound that. I do email you
occasionally. Well, what else is a visa? What is a visa? It's a credit card.
Well, it also is credit cards. Exactly. Thank you so much.
That's kind of what these visas are. These visas are for credit entitlements.
Yeah.
Hmm. Very intriguing. Another rabbit hole to follow down.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Another rabbit hole to follow down, but it's certainly worth perusing a bit.
I'll post up on my Facebook page later. I would suggest for everybody, and I've said this before and I've posted before, but to restate it again, everything that we're dealing with here has to do with Department of Homeland Security, has to do with passport and visa issues. And I would suggest that everybody go on to the Secretary of State site and look up the FAM manual, F-A-M. Which is the Foreign Affairs Manual. It will open up your eyes to like it's never been opened up before because it goes into great specifics on the issues of what we're dealing with. And all these mortgage issues, all these economic issues, all these CPS issues, everything is regulated by the Foreign Affairs Manual and is regulated by the Foreign Affairs Manual as far as the immigration, the status, administration, of programs, of bonds, everything is regulated by this manual. It is a huge eye-opener. And, you know, if you thought that citizenship was a black-and-white issue or a gray issue with just a couple of steps to it, no, it's multi-faceted. And what they've done here is they've instituted a system of citizenship and naturalization and immigration that is just, it's unbelievable. The visas that people are getting and how they're getting these visas and who's getting these visas, which, of course, are all bankers and attorneys. And they're doing it by assuming our identities and getting passports behind our backs and visas behind our backs to which they're enjoying the benefits of. This is the private side.
Thank you so much for your hard work, Dan. You've got Ken, we've got to communicate with one another. You have emails from me. Thank you, Tom.
Yes, I can. I think Tom has it. He can give it to you offline.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Be glad.
And bye. Just for you all to know, I'm posting right now on my Facebook page. It'll go out on Twitter, and we'll put it on Resurrect Republic. The Foreign Affairs Manual link to the U.S. Department of State.
Yes. Yes. If you give me access to that page, I can post it on there later. The actual manual.
Yes, sir, I will. Actually, you know what? We are going to work on that, and I think that we should. You and I should sit down tomorrow. So for you guys out there listening, Ken, I want to make a commitment. I'm going to put aside time tomorrow so that you and I can sit down and get you into ResurrectTheRepublic.com so you can start posting the way we had planned.
Yeah, that would be great because Facebook doesn't do it. Facebook doesn't. Stuff needs to be organized into groups and, you know, different links and everything. And Facebook is just, of course, one continuation of posts.
No, I agree. I completely agree. So we're gonna get you on Resurrect the Republic. We'll sit down tomorrow and make that happen. But until then, if you guys go to resurrectorepublic.com, all of Ken's links are on the website. So until tomorrow, until we get a chance to sit down and actually sit down and do that, you can still go and get and reach Ken just by going to Resurrect the Republic and clicking on Ken Dost. Now we have Mike in Kentucky. Mike, you're on.
Yeah. Somebody's dog's barking pretty good there.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Let me get him away from the bark. Okay. Sorry about that.
Don't worry about it. Ken's at home, and you know what? We'll take him any way we can get him. So go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was listening to some show on Republic Broadcasting within the last couple of years, and I hate to be so vague about it, but the guy was in Florida, and he went to get a passport, I think, at an airport somewhere, or they had a U.S. passport office. He got the guy to get the old-fashioned big old book off the man, off the shelf, because he had cited the, I guess, chapter and verse or page on an American passport versus a U.S. passport, and his goal was to get that as a, not a U.S. citizen, but as a, I guess, natural-born citizen of one of the several states. And you can go back prior to the 30s, I think, whenever a lot of this, whatever, uniform commercial law was started to be implemented.
Right.
And you saw that in the law books, be it Bouvier's Law Dictionary or Ballantyne's or whatever. They listed the United States of America and the several states, capital S, capital S, you know, for several states, as if they were separate entities. So, you know, and an American passport versus a U.S. passport, they will deny all day exists. But, I mean, this guy was able to get one in Florida. And
well,
I mean,
I've tried to... gotten the five-star passport, which is the diplomat's passport, which is what really, is what we really want to get. The question, though, becomes, do we want to expatriate ourselves as claim ourselves an American national, a non-citizen? I think it's a big mistake. I think we want to maintain citizenship as an American national, as a private resident, privately residing and domiciling in a non-military zone, expatriating ourselves.
As I understand it, most basically all these like equity or all these entities like KY for Kentucky and a zip code 40505 is a military zone, but there's an another status. What I've heard about is man upon the soil.
I've seen that within the FAM manual. Yes. Look at that FAM manual that he posted up. Tom posted up, and I'll post up later. It gives there's a couple hundred designations for passports and visas. Some things that I've never even heard of. So there's a lot of various designations that are not really obtainable through your post office or the county clerk in the standard application. There are applications. For instance, if you want to claim yourself as an American national, FS form, I want to say 581, I could be wrong, is a questionnaire. It's really more of a exit interview that questions you on why you are not an American citizen, why you are claiming that you are not an American citizen, and it's a four-page document that really is loaded with all kinds of traps and trick questions, but it really is geared towards saying why you're not a U.S. citizen.
FS what?
I think it's FS 581. It's 581 something. It might be DS 581. I believe it's 581. And it's really an incredible document.
It's
and
from the foreign department? From the State Department?
It is from Secretary of State from the Department of Homeland Security. I'm sorry.
Well, and of course they've converted everything under the skirt of Homeland Security. It's like they completely reformed the government so they could file for bankruptcy or something and create a whole new entity. It's almost, you know, already switching the flag from one shoulder to the other on the military uniforms. It's like they've tried to create a whole new U.S. person, but that seems like what they're trying to do to all the time is to make you admit you're a U.S. citizen or a U.S. person so they'll have jurisdiction.
Well, you know what? Yeah, because let's use foreclosure as an example. When foreclosure action is brought against somebody, it's brought against them as a United States citizen, domestic person, because yep. A U.S. person is by the IRS, the U.S. citizen, a U.S. person is a I forgot the term was a U.S. citizen and. And what they did was they came through and made all these designations for e-passports. It has to do with trading. Everything has to do with trading because we're operating in this virtual world. So they have to create us. Of course, we're foreign grantors, foreign entities, because of our all caps name. So we're not citizens. But in order for them to pin us with the taxes and to pin us with taxes at all, they've got to claim us as United States citizens and domesticate us. And this is straight out of the Uniform Corporate Business Act. Or Uniform Corporate Model Entities Act, which is, of course, the American Bar Association, and their methods of trading us through Department of Homeland Security and through all these different entities so that they can sell us off into five different nations or 20 different nations at the same time. And then when they want to foreclose upon us, they domesticate us and file a lawsuit against us, and boom, we get hit with deferred taxes while they escape with the all the annuities and all the private monies that they've accrued.
What a shell game!
It is a shell game. It's an absolute shell game. It's a despicable shell game. I mean, we've been so. It's not a question of proving this. Proving it's very easy. I mean, the evidence is all around us. I mean, it's everywhere around us. The hardest part about this is deprogramming ourselves, because we have been so deceived and so lied to, I mean, on a massive, massive scale, that if you can understand the concept behind it, then the proof is everywhere.
Well, my point is to try to come up with proof that shows you are at least attempting to grab your status as a man upon the soil with something besides a U.S. passport, but more of an American passport, you know, that says I'm not embracing all this, and I do not consent by my silence, and you have to fully inform me, or you have no contract. You know, I mean, there is no meeting of the minds here if you're not going to fully inform me. In Kentucky law, if you can reach it, if you can somehow get to Kentucky law, as a man upon the soil in Kentucky, I have a right to both the nature and the cause. There is no synonym in law. I have the right to both the nature and the cause of any action you're trying to bring against me, and that you cannot just simply restate the charges. You have to tell me the nature of what's going on here. And I mean, mm-hmm. I've tried to do that, and they simply just, you know, name in all capital letters. They restate the charges. They won't tell you the nature of the court, how it's arraigned, you know, anything like that. They just get glossed over that like you didn't even ask for it.
Well, that's why you've got to take it and remove it to the equity side. You've got to invoke exclusive equity and take it to the equity side. And you're going in as, I think to answer your question, you're going in as a private citizen of the United States of America, privately residing and privately domiciling outside a federal district within a non-military occupied private estate, not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. That basically sums it up, really.
You don't even attempt to say that you're a citizen born upon the soil of Kentucky? I mean, there's no state citizenship at all?
You're a native resident of the nation state of Oregon, nation state of Kentucky, nation state of whatever. So you are recognizing the state, but you're recognizing that you're in a outside of a federal district, within a non-military occupied zone, and if you're a private estate, and you're not you're not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, of the laws of the United States. So this is a little bit different than expatriate. Hi, Matt. How you doing? This is a little bit different than expatriating yourself, which I think is very dangerous to do. I don't think that's the right thing to do at all, because what you're doing then is then you are isolating yourself. But under, and as you mentioned, under the Department of Homeland Security with all these new, and you're exactly right. They established this as a hub, if you will, for trading and for immigration and for status and visas and whatnot. This is where we need to kind of concentrate on the intricacies of the DHS and not be so quick to expatriate ourselves.
Yeah.
Somebody was trying to say something there and got interrupted.
Yeah, you're going to find out on some of the forms that we go through that he has gotten acceptance to record. It's going to answer a lot of the questions, too.
If you go to the 37th Congress, the second session of the 37th Congress under Manufacturers, Articles, and Products, it goes through and describes what the person or the person act is. It says in very short, and be it further enacted that on and after this first day of August 1862, every individual, partnership, firm, association, or corporation, and any word or words in this act indicating or referring to a person or persons shall be taken to mean and include partnerships, firms, associations, or corporations when not otherwise designated or manifestly incompatible with the intent thereof, shall comply with the following requirements. And it goes on from there, and I'll post this on my Facebook, and it'll be shot out on Twitter in a minute, too, just so you
can
take a look.
And see, that's the point of doing the filings that I'm doing and giving notices, because what you're doing is you're rebutting those presumptions, and you're establishing your real and true name onto the land through a DBA, but through your DBA, you're not claiming to be a partnership or proprietorship. You're claiming interest in a proprietorship or partnership that was established by uninformed consent without your knowledge, to which you have interest in, to which you are the beneficiary of.
Yes, sir.
So this is a whole different avenue. It's totally different than going at the at-law side. You can't do this at the at-law side. It's impossible, because you're stepping into the private zone. And if we bring bring private matters into the public forum, we can get our asses in trouble. I mean, one, we'll be deemed as belligerent. Number one. Number two, we're revealing state and banking trade secrets, which is a big no-no. So the only way to really go about this is to go through private equity. Exclusive equity on the private side, because the matters that we're dealing with are all private. They're all private thefts of our estate.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? Because I thought that Americans in general were all considered under the status of belligerent because all these other entities have laid claims onto this continent, between the Vatican and the Crown. And I thought we were always considered belligerent occupants.
But see, we're dealing with a different with the 21st century, and with in 1998 with State Street versus Signature Financial Group, which was a ruling that allowed business methods to be patentable, and then of course with the revisions to Article 9 UCC in 2001, which collateralized through secure transactions and collateralized intellectual properties, which is copyrights, trademarks, and patents. And so what they were able to do at that point in time, they were able to take our all caps name, in my case Kenneth William Dost, and instead of selling me one time, they were able to sell me 1,000 times over, and
yeah,
put me in 50 countries at the same time. I mean, I'm a huge earner. I mean, you're a huge earner. You're making tons of money. We're all making tons of money. And they're doing it through intellectual properties and through the collateralization of trademark, which is our all caps name. Our trade name is our lowercase name, and our estate is all caps name. Our transmitting utility is all caps name with a middle initial, and our Social Security is our all caps name, just first and last. So these are all tradable corporations and business entities.
It's funny
that they changed
that.
The date.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because I always tell people sometimes give double meanings when you do things. Well, if you look at my Twitter feed, it's RTR Truth Media in all caps with a TM trademark, and then my name in all lowercase. It was like a little message out to the ether that we know what y'all are doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all the contracts we're dealing with, I mean, we go to the SEC. SEC contains a lot of the securities in those transactions, but the actual agreements, the security agreements that set all these things up, are actually recorded on the trademark side of the United States Patent and Trademarks Office underneath, for instance, go to MERS. Go to USPTO and type in Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems, and you'll bring up the MERS trademark. And underneath that, you'll find a security agreement between MERS and Bank of America, or Nations Bank, which is Bank of America. And that is a concealed agreement that was not disclosed to us through the Fannie and Freddie documents that were signed. As a matter of fact, MERS itself is a fraudulent misrepresentation because they did not disclose the MERS trademark, which would have led us to this underlying security agreement in which we are agreeing to act as an exclusive licensee of information, meaning our identity. That's how they say, oh, well, you were incorporated by reference. Well, I wasn't incorporated by reference. You didn't tell me about this. I didn't know about this. I had no disclosure on this, no knowledge of this whatsoever. So I'm rebutting it.
In 1998, I noticed the wanted poster from the FBI, and I noticed sometime in the 90s that they switched it to Social Security Administration to include three names without the middle initial abbreviated. But on the FBI Most Wanted poster for Eric Randolph Rudolph, they listed a whole string of aliases for him, Eric R. Rudolph, and
it's all derivative versions.
Yeah.
Derivative versions of it.
Yeah.
Every variation of his name they had on that wanted poster.
And that's exactly what they're doing with us, except they've taken it one step further. They've taken it into the digital realm, and so, you know, everybody says, oh, get to QSIP. The QSIP is just one avenue. There's QSIPs, there's ISINs, there's IBENs, there's all kinds of numbers and designations that all tie back to our living person, our natural, real, and true name. That's all our stuff. Those are all our assets that are trading.
That's some of the stuff we're going to go through here real quick, and I've got a question to kind of get us back on track. If you're pretty good on that.
We have one more caller on the line before we clear the callers off the list, and he's been waiting for a long time.
Thank you for your call, brother.
John in Idaho. John.
Hey, guys. Great conversation. Hey, I'll be real quick, and then I'll get off the line because I get back on track. A few minutes ago, you brought up getting together with tomorrow to, you know, provide Ken access on the site and get all that stuff established. I'm working on that problem with setting the privilege levels and stuff. So, you know, reach out to me tomorrow when you do that. I just want to make sure that we don't trip up over each other You know, I just wanted to kind of throw it in there, too, that, you know, we are getting this stuff reconciled, and at the end of the day, so Ken knows, too, the site's going to be transformed into an awesome asset for us. So,
yes, sir.
Yeah, just reach out to me tomorrow.
Thank you for that, John, and what you guys are listening to. That's John. Hang on through the break. We will be right back. I want you to hang on because I want to make an announcement to our listeners. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN with Ken Dose. We will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm
Finca Baiano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
John, you're still on the line, correct?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, good. Ken, I know you're here. Texas, I know you're here. Folks, I wanted to make an announcement tonight and give John just a few seconds to explain to you. I'm not computer literate like this man is. He's kind of come in to save the day, but there's a little kind of short announcement I want to make to you just to show you what we're about. In the past few weeks, I've been contacted by a group. In that group, they have offered to cut me a check. Now, the check isn't, $100,000 or anything like that, but it's got some zeros on it. And as a part of that offer I was made, one of the things that they wanted to take over was some of this information. They wanted me to clean up the site and remove from my site all affiliates that I had listed there. They wanted to make it oversimplified and market it to essentially generate revenue with my site. That would have eliminated Ken, and that would have eliminated a couple other folks that have been attempting to reach out to me. May God bless them for what they're doing.
And it would have made life a little easier for me right now. But I want to tell you guys, and the reason I'm mentioning this is because John, who's on the line right now, is going to be responsible for completely revamping the site. He's offered and very kindly offered to give his time and his resources to make this happen. And I want to make I want to give Ken a platform to share his research and his material on my site. And as a word out to those people who offered me that check with all the little zeros on it, knowing that we've been, as a broadcast, kind of struggling a little bit, I'd like to take an opportunity to say to them that they can kiss my rosy red American ass because I'm not for sale.
Good for you. Good for you.
And two men on the line right now who I highly respect, and that's Ken and John right now. And John, if you could take a minute to tell the folks what they're going to be, because they've been having some trouble tuning into my site. If you can tell them how we're going to prevent issues from coming up in the future real quick and what you're going to be doing, and then we'll give it back to Ken.
Sure. Yeah. We're basically going to completely transform the site. We're going to redesign it and clean out. Right now, the site currently has a lot of outdated code and stuff that's causing people to get tripped up when they're on the site, you know, crashing browsers and, you know, the site, the pages on the site never fully load. I'm sure people notice that. And so it's just real clumsy and awkward to even try to use it right now and you know, and I think Tom hasn't pulled any punches of acknowledging that. So, but we're going to completely redesign it, transform it, and totally clean it up, create some very user-friendly navigation, and set it up so that people like Ken and other contributors, even such as myself, to be able to write articles, because I write articles as well, to be able to post content to the site and do have it so that Tom can manage access privileges to the site so that he can properly designate contributors and things like that. So it's going to be, we're going to use the latest, greatest web development technologies. We've got redundant fiber lines to the backbone of the internet, so it's going to be ultra fast. It's going to be awesome. It's
just fantastic.
So I'm excited to do it.
That's fantastic. I'm excited, too, because I want to get off Facebook. Facebook's not user-friendly at all.
Oh, no, and they're trying to bottle you down, brother.
Well, you know, I haven't had any problems with any kind of administration in Facebook. The problem that I have with Facebook is that everything's continuing. So, and this is stuff that you can't continue. I mean, this has got to be broken down to categories and so people can reference it and everything. So it needs to be a website.
Yeah. So, John, I just want to take a moment to publicly... From the bottom of my heart, thank you for everything that you're doing and everything that you're going to be doing. And I would ask our listeners, folks, we've been at this for a few years. I'm not an IT guy, but we finally have somebody to really get behind us. And I'd like you to step up and if you would, go to Resurrect Republic, because right now the PayPal button's still working. Any money that you want to go towards the revamping of our site, in the memo section of your donation, just write site, and that money will directly go to John's effort to put in, and he's already going to be donating time, and we're going to be on secured servers. Nobody's going to be able to tear us down. So we're asking you to get behind us with this effort. ResurrectTheRepublic.com, click on the PayPal, and under the memo section, you just write SITE, and that money will be directed towards these efforts. And that's all I have to say about that. John, thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. And I'm going to pop off the line so you guys can continue. Thank you, Ken. Thanks for the information. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one.
Ken, there are some things that Lori is absolutely chomping at the bit to release to the public. I'm going to step back, and I'm going to let you guys finish this out.
Okay.
Thank you. And we've got a couple more documents to go through. I'm going to kind of go backwards because some of these documents are what you posted on Facebook, because some of these documents are very important. And I'm going to start with the cover sheet of the Certification of Live Birth Authentication. That is the Secretary of State authentication for full faith and credit. That's the cover sheet you put on all of these forms. Can you go over that a little bit about what that is and how that applies? And we've got about 20 minutes.
Well, that wasn't really a cover sheet. That was kind of an attachment to it. The cover sheet, what I was referring to, is so a lot of the counties will not have anything to do with birth certificates whatsoever. They won't record them. And in some respects, I kind of see why they won't record them, because it's a private record that's being recorded publicly. And again, they're selling them time over again anyhow. The only thing that's really important to that document is it shows that the authentication from John Kerry, from the Secretary of State, shows that it was authenticated by himself. It is the birth document, and it's for full faith and credit. So what I did in my submittal was I left out the Certificate of Live Birth, and I left off the authentication from the Secretary of State of Ohio, in the state I was born, and just put the Secretary of State, John Kerry, attachment in with a notarization that it's authentic, and put that into the filing, as opposed to trying to put in all the birth files.
Perfect. Then you also did the... which one do I go through first? Because I know we're not going to go through all of them. Major one that we just talked about with the gentleman from Kentucky, he was probably going to be interested in these two. The notice of disclaimer and trusteeship. That's
a great document.
Exactly.
If I could read that one to you, because that's a good. It's a short document, but that's a very good document. If I could just read it.
Go for it.
It says, be it noticed that I, Kenneth William, concur that a trust arrangement cannot be forced upon anyone designating him or her as a trustee. One who has not previously accepted a trust or contract or contracted in advance to do so can disclaim and refuse appointment as trustee for any reason or for no reason whatsoever. John C. Halbeck, Jr. and Albert Lewin, 1888, Law of Trusts. In Halbeck, Section 194, see also all the references. And whereas a sole trustee and sole beneficiary are one and the same person, the result is a merger of legal and equitable titles, defeating the trust and creating a fee simple in the natural person. And whereas no particular words are required to form a trust, nor is it essential that any of the parties involved know or understand that the intended relationship is a trust, if an effective transfer has been made, a valid trust exists, even if the trustee is not aware of it. And whereas an implied trust arrangement requires an implied executor, and that said implied trustors can be any government agency, corporation, legal fiction, or judicial officer in the public, and whereas any implied trust relation can be established as inter vivis. Take further notice that I, Kenneth William Dost, do hereby notice all persons and men worldwide of my express disclaimer of all implied and voluntary quasi-trusteeships and registered agency in character and in nature to artificial persons without my express acceptance and valid transfer or receipt of res or sufficient consideration under the rules of American exclusive equity. Said disclaimer of Kenneth William Doss relates back to my first instance, and that goes into birth information, in law or implied acquiescence and or conduct without express written consent, whichever is sooner, due to, including but not limited to, any voluntary implied express trusteeship or registered agency to an artificial and or fictitious person is now merged and extinguished by private equitable nature of the relationships of confidence by me, the sestakay, of the subject matter registered organizations. B, based what is written on my heart. C, it is my wish. D, good conscience. E, good reason. F, the failure to complete and clear disclosures to me. G, in fact, going out of the way to intentionally conceal any and all knowledge over completely false and fabricated representations. H, the failure of a valid transfer, receipt, or res of sufficient consideration to me. I, mistake, error, or accident due to the to the disability of my legal capacity as a ward, infant, and or incompetent, by which my parents and I could avail myself of my rights and options, that equity requires good faith dealings. J, absence of a deserved legal capacity within the current temporary provisional emergency martial due process of the current public system. K, the treasonous acts of the American Bar Association's fixed engineered administrative processes called statutes with loyalty to the British Crown. L, biblical principles admonish me from being a surety for a stranger, and I autographed it, Kenneth William Doss, without prejudice, private American national citizen of the United States of America, private residence from within a non-military occupied private estate outside a federal district, not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States.
And I want to remind people that a lawyer looked at this, and they're going to accept it in the county records, correct?
And they're going to accept it. They accept it. They're accepting it. I got notice today. Got a call saying that they'll accept everything I'm recording. The only mistake I made was I didn't put the property down. So I said, oh, okay, did you want to file in the miscellaneous? No, don't file in the miscellaneous. So I got to go down there Monday just to write the check, of course, because it's going to cost me $300 to record all these, because there's 40 documents total. I'm going to record this notice of trusteeship. I'm going to record under miscellaneous and under the property description of my land. So I'm going to split out the documents between miscellaneous and my property address.
Okay, and I'm going to go to another document real quick because we've got just a few more minutes, and I'm going to try to get to at least two more. They accepted your ecclesiastical deed poll. Can you go over what that is and the significance of the ecclesiastical deed poll?
Now, that blew me away that they accepted that. Ecclesiastical deed poll accepting transgressions, forgiving my transgressions and recognizing my errors and recognizing me as a live man, and just putting myself back onto the land and demanding that all my presence are returned to me. It's a very simple document. It's a one-page document. It is printed on light blue paper, which I'm told really makes a difference, but it really doesn't matter when you're recording it with the county because it's going to be recorded as it's copied. But to even get that in just blew my mind. I know people have tried to get that in. They couldn't get that in for the life of them in their county.
And that's a good one. The other one is the cancellation of all prior powers of attorneys, and that's what you were talking about on the mortgages when you sign over your mortgage papers. You were talking about giving a power of attorneys, and this is the notice of cancellation of all the prior powers of attorneys.
The biggest one that we gave up with when we signed those mortgage loan agreements was a little form that they slid before us called the W-9, IRS W-9. And it was just a single form, and I was told that it was just a verification of Social Security number. Well, that was a total bold-faced lie, because as I went back, and of course it took me years to go back to figure out to look at this thing, as I started getting all these patents and my research together, and I went back to the IRS, and I pulled up the W-9, in my case from 2005, and it pulls up another four or five pages of instructions and descriptions. And here I found out, oh, my God, I signed this W-9. I gave away all my withholdings, all my tax benefits, everything to bankers, brokers, and other third parties. So the broad-based cancellation of all prior powers of attorneys covers everything, including that form and any other form, any other digital signature, any kind of representation that was made without my express written consent or disclosure, which is a plethora of things. So that's a very important document.
Oh, I would say that just coming from where my background, I could probably tell my audience right there that is more powerful and significant than many other things you'll come across in your life that you signed away.
Right, and the one thing you want to make sure you put in there, though, is I want to make sure people understand, you got to put in there all digital representations, because everything that they're doing is by, it's not by our handwritten signature, it's by the digital representation that they illicitly made of it. So digital signatures are very important to make sure that you remove those powers of attorney.
Yes.
And that's where we were talking about earlier on a prior conversation. We're doing something for our children when we register for them for school or through the policies that the schools have when we have our signature, because now they're requiring electronic registration, so they capture that electronic signature.
That's
what
right.
What powers of attorneys are we giving them when we do that? What are they doing with our signature behind the scenes? Because the school districts have now caught on to this game and are playing it as well. What are they doing? So the cancellation of all prior powers of attorney, sorry, that's a tongue twister, is that important into what other researchers are doing? It may even go through the healthcare issues as well.
Well, healthcare is very important. No, it's very important. I mean, this thing is grounded in vital statistics, okay? Everything that we're dealing with, if you might pick a couple hubs, Department of Homeland Security is one of them, Department of Vital Statistics is the other one. It may be under your state's Department of Health. Under my state's Department of Health, the Epidemiology Department for Vital Statistics. And it's very important because what they're doing with our signatures and what they're doing with our information is they're including us and depositing us, a very important key word, into various government-funded research studies. This can be from anything, from education, for learning disabilities, for whatever they come up with. And so they're using our information within these types of studies, and it's an invasion of privacy. It's their money generating funded studies and research studies. Now you can expand this into DNA, and it goes off into all different kinds of directions. But these are it's an invasion of privacy and it's use of personal information without our knowledge.
And that's where it goes to those universal assets you were talking about.
Yes.
And aren't there patents on the universal assets as well?
There's patents on, it's not so much, they don't use the word universal asset in that sense. They used another word that we are all familiar with, securitization. Securitization might as well be a word for fractionalization of the human being. Might as well be a word for, the universe of assets, where they take one person and divide us into a thousand different mini-me's, if you will, profit off of each one of them, not on a fractionalized basis, but if it's one-tenth, they're still selling it for ten-tenths. So I would say that universe of assets, fractionalization, synonymous with the term securitization, which we were lied to about. We were told that it is a pooling of loans into a group and then selling it into a trust out of which certificates are sold. And that, by and large, is very true, but that's not the real definition. The real definition, or the reformatted definition in the year 2000 of securitization, is taking any financial instrument or any person and breaking it up into an immeasurable number of other financial instruments and investments. Fractionalization of a human being, basically. Human trafficking.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to list the special notices real quick, and then if you'll go through them, because I want to lump them together because time is so short.
Okay.
We have the special notice of delivery, the special notice of entrance, the special notice of deed and of conveyance. Those three notices. Can you tell us a little bit about those, because the county accepted those as well?
Yeah, those are your notices that you're going into private into equity, you're expressing trust. You're giving notice that as the grantor and the grantee that you have established a trust account established through the United States Post Office, United States Postal Service, through a self-addressed stamp envelope with one of those restricted signature red stickers on it, which is going to be your formation for your accounts. So you're establishing all your arbitrary accounts, but you're establishing and expressing your trust and interest in the trust, which is, of course, your all caps name. So what this is doing is it's giving public notice that you are expressing a private interest in a trust. And when those documents are filed, then you're filing another document with, in my case, I selected HSBC as a trustee, and you're sending that to them with a restricted signature, which, of course, they'll never open because an attorney's not going to sign for it, because if they do, they're basically assuming the trustee and assuming all liabilities, so they're not going to sign for it. So that'll come back to me, and that'll form the formation for when I go and file a petition for a decree through Chancery for sole beneficiary and sole ownership of me and my private trust. So that these are the formation of going into private trust. And you have to give notice to the other side. You have to give public notice of what you're doing by expressing the trust. And you've got to give the chance to for the trustee or who you appoint as trustee, in my case HSBC, the opportunity to accept the trust or not accept it. Then from there, you take it into court on the Chancery side and settle it.
And there you go. And the last form, and we're actually going to do this, is the Notice of Acknowledgement, Receipt, and Acceptance for Private Lawful Consideration ab initio.
That's the one of the documents for the expressing private trust. And all this is saying is that that's by your own free will act, that you're acknowledging and accepting a private lawful consideration of in my case, I put the birth certificates as insurance, as a lawful consideration, that you're expressing interest in absolute fee simple estate, which brings equitable and legal title together. And when you bring equitable and legal title together, they merge into the same, and all debt eviscerates, and all equity accrues. It's really a power. I mean, equity is a very, very powerful thing. I mean, I'm still learning the intricacies of it, and I'm blown away by it because it's a totally different concept that is outside of law, outside of common law even, is really just it's a law of nature. You screwed me over, you hurt me, you stole from me, and I want it back.
And they accepted every single one of these documents. That's
they accepted every one of them to file into county record, which really surprised the hell out of me. And I'm real careful about what I do. I put a disclaimer on most every document that says very simple. It just says I can find it here. It says I think I can find it. Hold on 1 second. I put on here, I, Kenneth William Doss, solemnly affirm and verify that I read the following and foregoing, know its contents to be true to the best of my knowledge, except as to matters which are therein stated, on my information or belief, and as to those matters, I believe them to be true. This affidavit is submitted upon good faith effort as grounded in fact, warranted by existing law, for the modification or reversal of existing law, and submitted for proper purposes, and not to cause harassment and unnecessary delay or cost. So help me God. I declare under penalty of perjury, under the laws of the Republic of Oregon, without the United States, the foregoing is true and correct, and is subject to amend. So I left myself an out there in case that I made a goof or a boo-boo that Ken, I can correct and amend it.
Ken, going back to the mini-me, can you just very quickly and briefly explain to us the mini-me again?
Well, the mini-me is what they did when they when we signed these mortgage loans. They took our property. Let's just stick with our real property for a moment here, and they sold off all rights into it, and they created different rights in it. So, in other words, on my property here, I got 5 acres. So they sold off 4 acres of my logging rights, my forest rights, my timber rights, and I never even knew about that they sold off. They sold off my water rights. They created air rights, which they sold off. They created all kinds of other rights and interests in my property that were sold off and multiple times over. So you've got 1,000 different transactions that are taking place, or investments that are taking place on my property, on me.
My little message to the elites that would be the ones that kind of find it funny to leave us little clues in Hollywood. Mike, roll that clip.
Dr. Evil, while you were frozen, we began a program to clone you.
Cool.
Cindy the clone!
He is exactly like you in every way.
It's
except 1/8 your size.
Well, you know.
Hold on.
Mini me.
I love it. I love that movie. I love it. Yeah, the mini me is kind of your non-human you. This is a concept that we've got to grasp. We've got to understand this because what we've got here is we've got a digital world that is a virtual world. That is an avatar of us, essentially, and I call it the mini-me because there's so many of us that exist that are trading all over the place. I mean, we're world travelers. I mean, we've been all over the place. You know, I mean, we've seen the best of
time to bring up the clip from my cousin Vinny. Yeah, you're a world traveler. Well, you know what, folks? We've run out of time. And Ken, of course, you are going to be a regular mainstay on this show. It's so wonderful to have you.
Thank you.